I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
If you want a tag team matches player, you got tag team matches player. It's the NXT After Show exclusively on AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports. How's everyone doing? My name is Flobo Boyce. We have a stacked show of NXT coming to you live from the Performance Center. But before we get to all the matches, I got to introduce an all-star panel that's with me today. This man just flew in from Florida, wheeling and dealing, comedian, wrestler, all-around nice guy, despite the fact he doesn't like Bayley that much. Give it up for Hamza Khan.
Hamza, hey, I don't dislike Bayley. I just don't like her that much, so it's A-OK. Ooh. I have missed
We're
you guys.
Have a fight.
I'm happy to be back online with the two of you guys, ready to talk about the show.
I know.
And speaking of people I do not hate, give it up for this correspondent for Champs at Wrestling from Arizona, the Emmy. She actually was nominated for an Emmy. Emmy nominated Emily May.
Oh, yay. I am so happy today. I get to see your pretty faces and talk wrestling. It's great. And I've missed you both.
That's true.
Everyone. I've missed my whole AfterBuzz family.
So. AfterBuzz TV, wrestling and sports, part of the AfterBuzz TV family of products, have been off the air on hiatus the past 2 weeks in solidarity for those of us fighting alongside the Black Lives Matter movement. It's a cause very near and dear to me. I just want to see how you guys are dealing and keeping up with this time, this crazy time, 2020. How you guys in a mental check, how you guys doing personally and professionally?
Well, yeah. Myself, I almost feel a little guilty for saying I'm okay, I'm good. But what's not okay is everything that's going on around us right now. It's a little heartbreaking. I was actually just yesterday hanging out with my best friend, who is a cop and who's also Black. And he's dealing with it very, very hard right now. You can tell it's wearing on him. So if it wasn't for everything that the Black community has gone through, all the civil rights movement, everything like that, me as an immigrant, I probably wouldn't have rights today in this country. So I'm just connected in this, man. And I feel for everyone, but I like the direction everything's going. And I hope we come out better on the other end.
Absolutely. Emily, made you want me to add on just to...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's such a heart-wrenching and, like, emotional time right now. A lot of us are really raw and trying to, like, find a way to make a difference. And what I've been doing is just making sure, like, I'm working with the organizations to help support the cause and, you know, speak out as much as I can and check in with, you know, friends I care about and family I care about. And that's we just have to keep fighting and keep, you know, keep supporting the people around us. We're all hanging in there. So.
Absolutely. If you want to know more how you can help and support what we're doing here at the network, log on to AfterBuzzTV.com for extended coverage of Black Lives Matter and the surrounding issues and protests are actually going along with that. But today we're talking about tag team matches here at the Performance Center because apparently we had two matches that were booked, that were called beforehand, and it started off with the men's NXT tag team title match. I'm cracking up right now because Imperium took on Emporium. Breezango started off tonight. Emily May, you and I were talking about this on Twitter. What an entrance, am I right?
I mean, I was cracking up. So, like, I loved this, like, it's such fun storytelling happening right now. And I'm like, I'm loving that they have this very, like, very serious Imperium versus this, like, comedic tag team. And you're like, the pairing of them is pretty fun to watch. And it really kind of elevates, like, because we've always had conversations of, like, all right, who's gonna, like, what tag team's gonna go against who, and, like, where are we at with that in the division and, like, that.
Are you calling me predictable, Emily May? Are you saying I'm messing with
We've talked about it. I'm just like, we've like tried to figure out, so what's next for the tag team division, and this is just like, this works. Like, I thought it worked.
Mm-hmm. It did seem a bit of like a tag team overture. Hums, I'm going to ask you this. We got Breezango. We have Imperium. We got Vivids Incorporated, which they have like three names. I'm going to call them Vivids Inc., but I know they have like three or four names. And now we also have Birch and Lorcan in the mix. Mm-hmm. I mean, is this a decent tag team division? If not, what are they missing?
I liked it. I liked everything about it. I liked the hard-hitting action. I like the comedic background of it. I like the big guys. It's all coming together nicely. I've always been a big fan of tag team wrestling. One of my earliest childhood memories of wrestling is Edge and Christian against the Hardys, against the Dudleys, and all the tables.
Of course.
Wait, were you an Edge and Christian guy, or were you a Hardys guy, a Dudleys guy?
I was Hardee's all day. And they lost every time, and it broke my heart, and I cried like a little girl, but it's A-okay. Tag team wrestling.
They're all good now.
I've been feeling like lately, WWE doesn't take them so serious, the tag team division. And the fact that they started off the way they did, and they put so much emphasis on it and everything like that, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm excited to see which direction this goes in.
Well, I mean, opening the show with it, it shows like, okay, we're going to start it off hot. We're introducing some new strategies and storytelling elements. And like, that's the way to do it. You can't bury it in the middle of the show. You can't, you know, it didn't warrant like a main event kind of card status, but I feel like it was placed at the perfect point in the show tonight.
Agreed.
100%. Riddle me this, panelists. Is Imperium going to be the long-term title holders, or are they transitional?
I don't feel like I've seen enough of it. I mean, Emily, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't feel like I've seen enough of them, but every time I do see Imperium, they keep impressing me every time. It's not gotten stale for me, at least yet. So if I really can see them going for the long run and just holding the tag titles for a while and kind of going through each of the tag team division, if they stick to that, they can come out as a pretty dominant tag team.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay, like, shaking it up with Imperium. Like, I'm okay with that. I can see them kind of going down the long haul. We need a mix up. I feel like they're the type of team that the other tag teams in the division, and they've kind of highlighted it tonight, that, like, it would be some interesting matchups that would switch up kind of what we've been seeing in, like, these factions and these tag team matches.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they're going to hold it for a while just because they have the name Imperium. But if it transfers over to Birch and Lorgan, I know I'll pop hard. I'm like, yeah!
I mean, you've been rooting for them for, like, ever. So you would be, like, crying and, like, freaking out.
That's the thing. Love me or hate me, I pick my ponies and I stick with them, man. So
Zon, and I appreciate that.
I'm going to ride them out, man.
loyalty goes a long way.
I know, because when Apollo Crews gave me a shout-out, I was so happy.
What? I know. What? You're rocking it, Flobo, making things happen.
I know. So what, people who are making things happen, Todd Phillips got an exclusive interview with Velveteen Dream. Now, here's somebody I wondered where he was going to go after that backlash match, because I know if we didn't have time to talk about In Your House at TakeOver, Velveteen Dream took that loss pretty hard. It was almost like he disappeared like a video game boss.
So he had to heal.
I thought it was going to be a main roster thing. I thought the whole Lucille and The Walking Dead was like them experimenting with the main roster version of Velveteen Dream. But it looks like he has some more unfinished business. Holmes, let me ask you this. Velveteen Dream, if you were the fantasy mystery booker, would you keep him on NXT for a chance to rebuild, or now's the time would you move him?
I think it's a good time to move him to the main roster. I think Velveteen Dream is a very strong player. He's a very strong black player. And current everything that's going on right now, I think he'd do well in SmackDown in general. Lately, I've been a little confused about his storyline. I feel like it's kind of just coming and going. They're trying things and it's not really working out. I kind of feel like he also has reached his potential in NXT. And I would like for him to go out in the main roster and start doing main roster stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I always felt like now is the time. What do you think, Emily?
Yeah, I mean, he had this incredible match at TakeOver, and it showed that, like, how many of those can he do in NXT? And so it kind of proves the point that he is most likely ready to move on to the next step. But what I don't want to happen is for him to get lost in the shuffle of when you do move over to Raw or SmackDown, and you might be, you kind of start over sometimes. You kind of start where you don't necessarily get the right opponents that can lift you up in the way that you want. So that's just a concern I have, as I'm kind of looking at who's on Raw and SmackDown, who he can, you know, challenge. And so that's kind of, I feel like, why they've been kind of waiting for that moment.
Yeah, lost in the shuffle. Look at my man, Killian Dane. I forgot he was around. Had a match against Damian Priest. Look, I was surprised Damian took Finn Balor as far as he did at TakeOver In Your House, but it looks like he's a thing now. Emily May, let me ask you, Damian Priest, are you on board after a year or so of him being on the NXT roster?
I mean, I have always kind of feel like I've had mixed feelings about him, because I'm not sure what he represents.
And fishnets, a lot of fishnet stuff.
That's well, we, well you know, you know, Some of us, you know, we do.
Right,
you know, some of us. What I'm looking for is really that statement of purpose, and that in the matches that he does. And I feel like he gets these like middle matches where he might win, he might lose, but they're not statement matches. And I want him to have this moment to prove that he deserves to be in NXT, or he deserves to be in Raw, or wherever he wants to go. But I need that moment still. And I feel like I have not had it yet.
Let me ask you a question. Cause I mean, you are a wrestler. You're a practitioner of the wrestling art and science. They could have given Damian Priest a local talent, as we'll talk about later in their match, mm-hmm. but they gave him Killian Dane, a guy who hasn't been on TV a lot, but he's still pretty sizable. Is that really like the olive branch, I guess, like a sign that is going to get more Damian Priest, or just I'm reading too much into it?
You know, that's exactly what I thought when this first started, because I feel like both Killian Dane and Damian Priest are really talented wrestlers that they use to enhance other wrestlers. So they typically end up taking the L. So when two L's came together and started putting this match together, and after the victory from the loss or the match that he had recently, I feel like they're trying to push him, and just like Emily said, I'm not really sure where they're trying to go with him. I know he has talent. I don't know what his character is. He has a good look. He has good ability. Mm-hmm. I just don't think that WWE really knows what they're doing with him. Maybe they just don't care enough to do anything with him. I don't know.
Well, and it might be one of the situations where as they kind of organize, because this, I feel like this episode was an episode where they're like establishing a few like sparks of new stories and stuff like that. And this was one of those moments where they're like, oh, we can bring these two people that have not necessarily had a lot of wins and see what they can do together. Right. And that is an opportunity for both of them. And it's a good opportunity. But then how do you make it even bigger, and what's next for them?
Right.
And that's just what I'm trying to like grapple in my mind.
Exactly. And just to clarify, I would gladly take an L to either of those two any day.
Oh man. I would be in an enhancement match with them. Like, that's fine.
I'm 0% coordinator, but please roll me up. It's fine. I'm just
You'll manage me.
Bobo. I'll do it, man. If Rob Gronkowski can do it, then why not Flo Pito?
Anything's possible.
Yeah, anything is possible if you put your mind to it, except becoming world champion. So listen, so before we move on to our next match, can you tell the world how they can listen to other AfterBuzz show on this network?
AfterBuzzTV.com, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah,
so.
Yes.
So we love that you watch wrestling and sports here at AfterBuzz TV. We love that you love NXT. So please follow us on AfterBuzzTV.com. Follow us on YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review, because that's all we take and appreciate. So hit the subscribe button and leave us some love, because that's how we bring this to you. So, and thank you for joining us every week. We appreciate you, and we hope you're hanging in there. And we can't wait to give you wrestling content every week.
Yeah, 5 stars. You know who's hanging in there? Yeah, that's way more than 5, but thank you. I appreciate
it. I was like, you're giving us like 15 stars over there.
15 stars, man. It's like when you play cards, 7 aces. So speaking about someone who's on the come up, I guess, Robert Stonebrand pulled off the side of the rope. Aaliyah looking for someone to sign. Now, I actually like the story, because just a month ago, Aaliyah wasn't good enough to be part of Robert Stonebrand, but now she's getting pulling this guy up to the ring, and him doing this thing got Aaliyah a win. So, yay. So let me ask you the power of the manager. We always talk about managers are a lost art in wrestling. Robert Stone is doing something different. Is it for the better or for the worse in the sport?
I think it's for the better, because we were talking more about him versus the actual match itself. And that's what I love about a good manager. They can create a story, and the story comes full circle, and everyone loves a good story. So I like it. And then anyone that has a manager that comes out with them, you know, there's a little bit special. They're a little bit special because they get that extra like oomph behind them. There's a lot more moving parts you can play with. And this was a very interesting storyline. I don't think I've ever seen a manager do in wrestling before. So I really enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, the yellow mist.
Yeah, I mean, I actually love this storyline. I've been, you know, we've been talking about Aaliyah for a long time and kind of finding her place in NXT. And I'm so glad, like, there's been rumors that she's going to be, like, brought on as part of this this Stone brand. And I think it's a great, great move for her. I think it's going to solidify a relationship with her and Chelsea Green. And I think that's going to prove to be really great for her. And I also, I'm okay with managers getting involved, because it makes it interesting, you know, right. Makes it, it shakes it up and, you know, it's, you gotta fight for what you want. And you can see that he is trying to get his clients to get those wins.
Also at the expense of Xia Li, which is actually, I actually like it because it's an undercard women's storyline. It's a storyline that's not just about the title, which is pretty dope, right? Mm-hmm. I hate you because you broke my nose. I hate you because your manager puked on me, right? I like the idea, the dynamic. I'm not sure what the next takeover is going to be, but I would actually see like an undercard takeover match involving those two. So
yeah, I mean, it gets more people involved and there's a more tangible reason and objective for the wrestler to not like someone and to fight for what they want. So because they have this extra like anger and frustration, it gives them motivation to get what they want.
True.
I'm going on a pole match.
Let me ask you really quickly, just a yay or nay, because I'm on the fence myself. Timothy Thatcher, Thatch can wrestling. On board or nah? Oh, okay.
Oh, Hans is like, yeah.
Thumbs up. For those of you who are listening to the podcast.
Listening. Thumbs up with a thumbs up.
Thumbs up emoji, everyone. Thumbs up
emoji. Ellie, thoughts about that?
I mean, I'm all for it. Yeah.
It seems very Drew Gulak-y to me, but that's just me. Maybe I'm asking for too much at one time. Maybe most fans are as nerdy as I am, but it seems very Drew Gulak-y. But what I don't think is Drew Gulak-y is this undisputed.
I love that description. Gulak-y.
It's Gulak-y. Five stars. So this undisputed therapy session. Now, Jack Farmer actually hosts the AEW Dynamite After Show. We have a similar problem on that brand with the Inner Circle. You have this really intact heel stable. There's not really an immediate threat. If you want to put them on TV, so you do comedy. Question for you. Does it work, Emily May?
I mean, I actually love this because you get an opportunity to see that side of them because they are such a serious staple in NXT that you can kind of play with this. Like he's dealing with, you know, being kidnapped in the trunk and the whole thing. And so like all these feelings and I think it works. I think, but you have to, the timing has to be right and you have to really kind of put it in the right place in the show overall. And I feel like this was the best place they could have put it. So I liked it, but also there's a balance of like doing these little skits and these little moments, but still having them be taken seriously in the ring. True. So you have to like balance that.
I want to say a hot take. I don't think Kyle O'Reilly was in that room. Sorry, thoughts about the sketch.
I'll disagree with Emily a little bit on this one.
Okay, fine.
It's the one. I'll get my one for the year.
I'll take it. You gotta disagree with me.
In fact, I think I was jogging out earlier, and I think I saw Roderick Strong run past me, and I could have sworn it was. No, but I mean, it was a little cringe to me. It was
a little cheesy.
Yeah, comedy's not for everyone. Comedy's not for everyone. That's all I'm going to leave it at. Comedy is not for everyone.
Yeah.
By comedy, you mean like actual wrestling sketches or like comedy in wrestling? Like
anything to make people laugh during a wrestling match or a wrestling skit in general, right?
Yeah.
So it's like they try to be a little lighthearted. I feel like they've never been lighthearted like that before, so it's coming out a little forced to me. And although they're trying, and I'll always give everyone kudos for trying, it's just, to me, it's not hitting. It was kind of boring. It was kind of blah, lackluster. There you go. That's a word for you. Lackluster. It was not Drew Gulak-y by any means.
I'll take that.
For all you people watching live and listening to the podcast, Hamza Khan, a comedian, hates comedy. I want you to know. He said it was a quote. He's like, I can't stand it.
Oh, man.
Sometimes there's some sketches that make you go, eh. Like,
I'm surrounded by
comedians. I love the Bro Show. That was my jam.
Seriously, that like Flobo and I were going to be on it. Like, we're going to host it. We're going to be a part of it. Like, I'm ready. I still dream about it.
That was our idea, wasn't it, Emily? You were the original bro to begin with. I cut us porn.
Yeah, totally.
Emily's the original bro. Why not? That'd be a cool t-shirt to wear. A picture of your face The original bro. So I guess, I don't know, I guess Matt Riddle's coming to SmackDown, but a question I always had in NXT overall got kind of answered for me tonight on this next segment. Adam Cole comes out and says 381 days because I'm that guy.
Keith Lee, he's that guy.
Fresh after smashing an hourglass, says no. Gargano comes out. Balor comes out. What's going to happen? Well, you guys can explain it to me and all the fans out there, but we're getting a unification match, right? Oh, my goodness. I always wondered what the North American title stands for. Now I get it. Emily May, walk me through this. These four guys and this eventual unification match. What's up?
I mean, this is going to be the talk of the town for, like, ever. That's what I'm gonna say. Yeah, like you kind of knew, like you knew, like forever, right?
Yeah.
You know that you could tell when like everyone starts coming out and you're having people challenging each other. You're like, all right, there's gonna be some action that's happening. They're building to this, and I'm super ready for it. And I think this is what we were trying to figure out what was gonna happen with kind of all these guys, and this is it. This is going to be epic.
Yeah, Hamza Khan, man. Look, three-way dance for the North, sorry, as WWE. Triple threat match for the North American Championship with the winner getting a champion for his champion match against Adam Cole. Is it kind of sad we may potentially see the end of the North American title, or is it time? Is it a good move?
It's not sad at all. I got really excited about this. First of all, Finn Balor and anything to me is just Finn Balor's awesome. Finn Balor all day, Finn Balor every match. Finn Balor gets Bayley.
She's like, I'm out.
But no, it's exciting because it's if they do it right, it's gonna end up being very exciting because it's one of those things where it's hard to tell what's gonna happen. I have my own predictions, you know, Keith Lee retains and then goes to become double champ, Adam Cole moves up the main roster. It's kind of my mindset behind it. But I like matches like the unification match because it can go either way. And there's gonna be a loser, a major loser either way, right? Whereas a championship match typically, if the champion retains, the challenger can challenge again. They have nothing to lose. They might go to the bottom and start the way back up. But in this case, someone's going to lose big. And I love when someone loses big.
Okay.
That sounded terrible in my head when I started.
You're a natural heel, man.
Wow. Man, I'm like, you're just bringing it.
Interesting is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, I like that. Emily May, the one person that's not part of this but will be is Karrion Kross. He challenged or got Scarlett to challenge Adam Cole in hourglass, and Keith Lee broke that same hourglass. Will there be shenanigans, or will he just be like, I'm next?
I mean, there has to be. I mean, I feel like there has to be shenanigans. You're going to, I mean, they're, you know, Karrion Kross is like the person to bring the shenanigans, so.
Yeah. Okay, for sure. Bring the shenanigans. All right, question for you then, Emily May. Follow-up question. Is this on NXT? Is this Balor's last stand to be considered the big attraction, the big signing he was when he came last fall? Is this his last chance to be the guy?
Yeah, I mean, we've been thinking about what is happening with Balor for a long time, and this is kind of his, like, big last rite of passage where it's like, all right, he has to challenge for this. He has to get it. Otherwise, what's like, he has to be the greatest, right? So he needs to get it.
Well, if he doesn't get it, so I wonder, that will be a cost of debate. I'm not sure how much of a Balor fan you are, but do you think this is his last shot? Or is it already gone in your mind?
I mean, I'm a huge fan, so.
I hate having to be honest against people I really love. And if Balor loses this, man, like, that's the thing. He came down there for this superstar appeal, and I don't think they did that with him, but I do enjoy watching him. It just didn't hit the nail like it's supposed to. If he doesn't win this one, I'm not really sure what they're doing with him. It's going to be kind of like he's done from there. He's kind of like Breezango in a way. It's just there to enhance talent and call it a day.
Damn. It's hard to say that, man. And because Balor is one of my all-time favorites.
I know,
the top 10 list. Shout out to him and his abs, man. That's a good inspiration to have.
every day.
I know, man, but the Ralphs here had like 10 cookies for a dollar. I couldn't say no.
So what kind of cookies?
It was chocolate chip, you know, it's number two or three on the scale, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, 10 for a dollar. Why would you
Krispy Kreme?
Yeah, yo, abs come so next week. My birthday is Thursday. All right, so we had a match with a rematch, kind of a weird revenge match here. Caden Carter trying to avenge Casey Catanzaro, taking on Dakota Kai with Raquel Gonzalez in the background, looking like a henchman that she is. I think, what did Mario call her? Like Big Mama Cool or something like that. Like Diesel, that was pretty funny. But Dakota Kai, easy win, it seems. Yeah. Is Dakota and Raquel the team, the duo to watch, Emily May?
You know, I like them paired together. I think, you know, I think they do have what it takes to go even further than where they are right now. So, yeah, I mean, I think they are a team to watch.
For sure. What's missing, Hamza? You know, you see the evolution of Raquel Gonzalez from the time when she was Raina Gonzalez, a cowgirl with a bull rope. Now she's doing this henchman thing. Like, you know, NXT is developmental. In your opinion, your estimation, if you were the fans of Booker, what is that team missing to go to the next level?
I think it's getting a little stale. I think it's kind of the same match over and over again. They're coming out and there's an interference and she's coming off as somebody that really helps Dakota win. And it's just, it's almost like they don't know exactly what to do right now, or they're waiting to do something. So they just keep copy and pasting their segment over and over again. So it was kind of, I love Dakota. I mean, she's one of my favorites, you know, she's adorable. I love everything about Dakota. Raquel comes off strong, which I absolutely love. So it's just, I'm waiting. I guess it's just a waiting to see what happens.
Do you think that like they would be better like back like with singles? Because like Raquel hasn't really done like, or are they good with this partnership? Like
either make them kind of going back and forth. Right. No, but I mean, I figured either make them a tag team, or if they're going to push one over the other, then make someone a primary like manager position. That's also a wrestler like Dakota maybe to help like elevate Raquel. But the switching back and forth, one day Raquel's fighting and with Dakota interfering, the next week it's Dakota fighting with Raquel interfering. So it's getting kind of like, all right, what's next and who are we pushing here?
Yeah, there's a lot of interfering happening.
It does seem like a kick it, eat it too situation. This is a guy watching with no wrestling training, but that's kind of like Dakota's heel needs to be established. I think Raquel is essentially always been a power wrestler, but I feel like they're trying to figure out what her limited moveset's going to be. If you go back to the Mae Young Classic, her moves as Raina was a little bit different. So I think that's kind of a testing ground. But you're right, we're kind of, I am getting kind of impatient, especially at the expense of Kaden Carter. She is so good. She was my pick to be the breakout star. I got 6 months left, man. Don't let me down, Kaden Carter. Come on, what's up?
Awesome look, too. Like, I can't believe they're just not utilizing her look. Like, she looks amazing, the girl does. So.
Oh, yeah, I'll come next to figure, man, for sure. Like, that's someone that looks like, you try to explain to someone, like, who's that? Like, she looks cool, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does have a very distinct look, and that we haven't really seen yet. And we just, again, we just have to, like, get her to keep pushing through.
Yeah, keep pushing through. That's what we can do on the Black and Gold brand. Hopefully, Katie gets some wins, get some dubs, as the patron saint of AfterBuzz TV, Evan Mack, would say, dubs. Moving on, somebody who got one, kind of unexpected, I think, Bronson Reed. Here's a guy that I actually liked in the breakout tournament last year. I did not quite like the fact he put the word thick on his tights before, but that's not there. But hey, they say down with the thickness, that's okay. Nice compromise. Taking out Holmes' boy, Leon Ruff, in 14.5 seconds. Leon Ruff, I love him to death. He comes out smiling. He's like, okay, Sheamus, bam. Okay, Karrion Kross, bam. But he comes back every single week. That guy needs a raise, to be honest with you. Holmes will walk me through this. Bronson, hey. What's next for him besides Karrion Kross, obviously?
I mean, first of all, Leon Ruff, he's equivalent right now to Charlotte Flair because he's in all three brands. So out of everybody.
No.
I mean, a guy.
No. You know what? Anyway, I want someone to supercut Charlotte's theme to Leon getting killed and pinned.
Hey, and then he came out with this awesome entrance. He did his whole little thing and flipped upside down. I just enjoyed it. I feel like he's getting a time to shine. And I like that he's grabbing it and he's going for it. He's balls to the wall. Let's do this, you know? So it was great. As far as Reed is concerned, Mr. Thicker Than a Snicker, cool. I mean, it was cool. It's where it's going. I like the fact that he got a little rematch coming up, but I mean, is he gonna win? No, but it's getting him a storyline.
Hold on, Hamza. Hold on. I can't. So Bronson Reed has a match with Leon Ruff. You're like, oh man, Leon Ruff is killing. He's smart. He got moves. He showed up in Bronson's eye. Yeah, for real?
Come on, man. Like, if you're given the job to go out there and lose, but you make it look so good.
Yeah.
I'm talking about it right now. Kudos for that.
But okay, I'm not knocking Leon Ruff, though, Hamza. But I'm like, Bronson Reed basically won a match and challenged the hottest act in the brand. You're like, but Leon Ruff, though, he's dope. I got to give... All right, you know what? I'm not even mad with you.
My opinion.
Okay, I see. So I'm going to say Hamza and Flo, but I see both of you. I hear both of you. Yeah. All right. So you need someone to take the loss in a really good way because you have to tell that story. So I will give that to him. But then also you have a challenge against carrying like Cross, who like keeps knocking people down. Right. So yeah. You have someone like, I've been thinking for the last few weeks, who's going to take him out? Like, who's going to be this person that's going to step up and say, you know what? You just got here, but I've always been here. And so we need this person to be like, hey, I'm here too. And this happened tonight. And so we needed this to happen.
You just gave me an idea. Triple threat. Throw Leon Ruff in there. Triple threat.
Leon Ruff, Karrion Kross, and Bronson Reed.
Do you realize what you're doing to him if you do that?
You see, I thought you were a fan, but you want to see that guy die. That's crazy.
Yeah, he wanted to be squished like a bug.
And Leon, like, if you're watching right now, I'm a big fan of yours. Can I have an autograph, 8x10s? Please send to AfterBuzz. Careful, blah, blah, boys. But I'm just saying, those three in a match would be explosive, man. Poor Leon. I thought the match was cool. I like Bronson Reed. I like the fact he's a bit more serious now, but he's able to have that, like, that thick gimmick, so you can say, I like this guy, he calls up thickness or whatever.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if he's going to be a guy, because I feel like with NXT, there's some people you put your chips behind. Like, if it was NXT 2015, I'm like, yo, Tino Sabatelli, world champ. But then, whatever happened, Tino Sabatelli. So, it can go either way, but I really like him, he has a really good upside. And Leon Ruff, too. I'm not knocking him.
Yeah, right?
Give it up. But
24/7 champion.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm still going for trying to get the 24/7 championship.
So. Let's talk about this briefly, man. Santos Escobar. Again, I'm not a fan of the name. I think it's kind of like pick evil names out of a hat. But he is super intense. The Wednesday Night Messiah walking out with Joaquin Wilde and Raul Mendoza running roughshod on Drake Maverick. Does a cruiserweight division need a big bad, Emily?
I like what they're doing with this crew, because I feel like there was that really good storytelling build up with like all the kidnapping and wondering where people are and all that. And so it got us like excited to have like this big, bad, like brooding kind of head leader that can come in and be like, okay, all right, this is how it's going to be done. And this is what's going to happen. And like, you need that character to take charge and say, this is what I want. This is how I'm going to do it. And these are the guys to help me.
Yeah, to me, it was a little bit of a departure. Hums, I'm going to ask you this because you're also understanding the psyche of a wrestler, right? So 205, the cruiserweight division, heel or face? Because there's just been Jordan Devlin's, there have been, you know, Leo Rush's. It's always been, I'm arrogant, I will beat you. But here's actually a character. It kind of feels like a side division in that way. Is there enough talent to support that? Or will this run the risk of being cartoonish for this division?
I'll be the first to admit that I was wrong when it came to the tournament that happened, and with Phantasma winning and everything, and I was like, this sucks. And then he won and it came into this little group they have going on, and I am enjoying it. I'm liking it. I like that they're doing something with Mendoza and Wild because they're both very talented wrestlers. I like the fact that they got Wild to stop doing that whole ba-ba-ba-ba thing, because that annoyed the hell out of me. And I think 205 Live needs a good like something to get people to look at them. And I hope these guys can do that, because that is one of the most talented divisions that they have. And they are very underutilized and underappreciated. And I would love to watch more and more of this if they continue it. And Drake Maverick, man, that bump you took at the very end onto that floor, my back is broken.
Broken in solidarity. That's what's up. Yeah, I want to see more of it. I hope it doesn't become to you like, I'm an evil person in this slot division. It's all about our main event here, the Women's Tag Team Championship player on the line. Tegan Knox and Shotzi Blackheart. Go, Shotzi! Taking on Sasha Bank and the strongest, the most decorated women's superstar. You can call her Dose Straps. Give it up for Hamza Khan's least favorite women's wrestler on the roster, Bayley, the role models in a fantastic match. I'm going to start with you, Hamza, because you and I go back and forth on Twitter about this. Why was this match dope, and why is Bayley dope? Continue.
So I like the fact that Bayley looks like she's about to complain to a manager at a Walmart any day now. She is
boo this man.
To be honest, at this point, it's not even that I dislike Bayley. I don't dislike Bayley. It's this heel character I'm not into, but it's just more fun to just see you like go crazy over my comments about her at this point. So I'm just having fun with you.
Right, hard for Bayley, man.
So he's egging you on, Volbo. You can't take the bait.
Come on, he's a heel. I'm telling you, he's a heel.
Oh. Oh man. Okay, I'm gonna just throw it out there.
Do it.
This was my favorite match of the night. Done.
I like the ending. I like the ending. I like Io.
Yeah, I mean, I do like Io coming out and you know, because I feel like we have all these, like Charlotte was kind of infiltrating brands, and like here we have this you know, Sasha and Bayley infiltrating, and this is what it's all about. Now that we're all on television, we're all bringing it. Like, this is where magic and memorable historical moments happen, and this is the beginning of it. I think Io Shirai is gonna like shine as we kind of continue and move on from this. And like, I love Bayley and I love Sasha. I've always been a huge fan, but they need different competition, and this is really gonna be good for NXT.
Ask Emily, because I mean, we and I have been watching the women's division evolve. Mm-hmm. And Mercedes Martinez got a promo today, so I'm excited for that. The way that that Sasha and Bayley won. Did that make, was it a star-making performance for Tegan Nox or Shotzi Blackheart? Or was it kind of like, flat? Or was it awesome?
No, I mean, I think when you're going against such athletic and incredible women like Bayley and Sasha, athletes, you have to like kind of go up to their level. And I feel like they did bring it. Like, like Shotzi took moves and was completely like, her timing was really good. Her energy was good. And you have to continue to like up the ante every time. And so the match tonight, they like did little bursts, and then slowly you're like, okay, this is like really good momentum. So I feel like they did like take the opportunity and run with it.
Hamza, Shotzi Blackheart, Tegan Nox, you want to see more of them? Do they fit? Or it's kind of like, they're thrown together. Who cares?
At first I was like, they were thrown together, but they definitely did a great job with the match overall. And all my personal feelings aside, I think all four ladies did a great job in the match. And I really enjoyed watching it. And I really liked the ending of the match as well, where Io came back and reclaimed her ring, because she's the NXT Women's Champion. So this is her ring. And the fact that there was five like strong female wrestlers going at it, and they put on a great main event show. It's I love the women's division, and anything that they've been doing so far has been just wonderful in my opinion, and I have yet to see them not do wonderfully. So kudos to all five of those ladies.
The women's tag team division rolls on to Raw, where Bayley and Sasha have a match against the Iconics. I know that's a Raw question, but do you think the Iconics have a chance of winning Monday, or are going to keep it on the waist of Bayley Dose Traps?
I mean, I love the Iconics. I feel like it has been a long time coming. And so I would actually really, I mean, even though I love Bayley and Sasha, I would really actually like to see the title switch up a bit.
Right. Yeah, let somebody defend the titles. I'd enjoy watching someone defend the titles, because Bayley already has the SmackDown champion, women's championship. So, you know, her and Sasha can battle it out for that championship. But I would like for an actual legitimate tag team to have the belts and do something great with them.
Just saying, Bayley makes it legitimate. But that is all the time we have on this edition of the NXT After Show and After Buzz TV Wrestling and Sports. Thank you so much for those of you in the chat. Talking Boza, talking Dylan Matthews, talking Manj was in the chat also. Xena Wire, Dang MQ, you guys are amazing. You keep us rolling on. Yeah. Love it so much. But Emily May, if someone's going to follow you online, how can they do that?
Yeah, well, you can follow me on all social platforms at Emily May Heller. Woo!
Yeah. Hamza Khan!
We're running low on time. Hamza Mania. Hamza, H-U-M-Z-A underscore Mania, M-A-N-I-A.
That's right. And I am Flobo Boys. Please follow your boy over on YouTube. Type in that Flobo Boys in the YouTube thing. Hit enter. Or if you want to do the whole website thing, flobito.com. All my information is there. Be my friend on social media at Flobo Boys on Twitter and at Flobito on Instagram. But until next time, y'all, buzz you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.